Well, I've started a little three-week series, and I'm calling it God's Gonna Bring You All the Way Out. So wherever you are, whatever you're going through, God wants to bring you all the way out. Amen? Do you agree with that? Wherever you are, whatever you're going through, wherever I am, whatever I'm going through, God wants to bring me all the way out. But what I want to emphasize today underneath that umbrella is finishing your destiny strong. God has a destiny for you. When you and I were born, He had a plan. A destiny is a chain of events. It's not just one single thing, but it's an umbrella of events that happens periodically throughout our whole lives. And He wants you and He wants me to finish strong. You know, I used to, back in the day, 5 years ago, I was in high school, just kidding. I ran the 440-yard dash. That was my race that I ran when we did track meets. It's one time around the track. Nobody cared about who started. They just cared about who finished. There were people that started that didn't finish. They would not finish for reasons. They'd get in other people's lanes, get disqualified. They might fall. They just didn't have the stamina for whatever reason. Everybody didn't finish. But see, God's going to make sure that we finish. If we just cooperate with Him, you're going to finish your destiny, and I'm going to finish mine. Amen? So turn to Psalm 37, and we're going to start here. Psalm 37, verse 23 and 24, says, "The steps of a good man are directed and established by the Lord. When he delights in his way and he busies himself with his every step, though he falls, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord grasps his hand in support and upholds him." Within your destiny and within my destiny, there's steps we take. God orders steps. So there's big steps we take. You might take it, you might move to a different state, you might have a different job move, but within those steps, there's smaller steps. And steps imply a process, right? One step, another step. But you're moving towards something when you're taking steps, or you're moving away from something, but either way, movement has to happen for progress to happen. It's a process. Your life is a process. You might be frustrated today or discouraged with the process because you're like, I should be further along than I am now. I shouldn't still be where I am. I shouldn't still be in this job. I should know more about what I'm supposed to be doing with the rest of my life now. We all have different stories, and we all are in different places, and we're all asking God different questions. But we're all in the process. Now, I know you're probably going to think a lot today, and that's okay. It's that kind of a sermon. So if you don't say amen every once in a while, I'll ask you to. Just stay with me, right? Today I want to talk about barriers. What are some of the barriers that keep us from really staying in the process with God? What are some of the barriers that keep us really from taking the steps we need to take? Or what are some of the barriers that maybe we don't take, God doesn't order the step yet because we're not ready? What keeps us from being ready? What would keep us from having be ready with an opportunity or relationship? What would it be? We're going to talk about that. But let me just put it this way before we go any further. The greatest enemy, or barrier if you want to call it enemy, the greatest enemy to your destiny and mine is within us. It's within us. It's within our own hearts. And I'll show you that as we go here today. Turn to 1 Corinthians 13:11. And we're just going to set up a little foundation here, and then I'll jump off somewhere and we'll go running. Not literally. Somebody's like, oh my gosh, we're going to run today. 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. Now that I have become a man, I'm done with childish ways and have put them aside. So this implies progression. It implies maturing. It implies growing. It implies developing, right? When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I reasoned like a child. My thought process was like a child. But now that I'm maturing, I'm learning to speak different. I'm learning to reason different. And I'm learning to have a different thought process. I would say the biggest barrier, if I would put in a nutshell, is how we treat our thinking process about life. Our core way we view life, we view God, we view ourselves, we view the world around us, is everything in our progress. That was a good place to say amen. But God, He orchestrates your development and mine, our development and our growth, so that we're ready for each step, each opportunity, that we're in the right place, at the right time, with the right people, ready to go. In the right place, with the right people, at the right time, ready to go. It's God's job to prepare us. It's our job to stay in the process. We don't like processes, do we? It's kind of like this. I hate to get in traffic on the highway. I'm sure you love it. I hate it. So to keep myself motivated, I'll look way up there and say, okay, way down there, 3 or 4 or 5 miles, is there any traffic? If the traffic's not moving down there, I have to pray about my attitude. But if there's traffic moving up there, I'm fine. And so wherever you are in your life today, wherever I am, I have to do the same thing. This isn't just a sermon for you because I've arrived. I'm actually, this is for me first, and I'm preaching it to you second. But in your life, wherever you are, maybe you're frustrated. Maybe you're discouraged about where you are. You're getting older, and you're thinking, okay, it's almost too late, and I should have already been there, and I feel stuck, and I'm not moving, and things aren't happening the way I think they should. And if you just look way ahead, things start to move just a little bit down the road for you. You just got to be patient. You got to be patient with the process. We live in a world where everything happens right now. Drive through, got it, want it, have it. But you got to realize, it's not just you arriving at the places you want to arrive at. It's you being prepared for it. Because otherwise you're going to fail. You won't be ready for it. So just look way up there. Maybe it's not as far for some of you. Maybe some of you it's a little bit further down, but movement's coming. Is that good? Is that good news? Good. So, yeah. Yeah, I do want to say that, don't I? Some people, probably all of us to some extent, we get stuck internally in our thinking process because maybe we're not processing pains that we've gone through right. We might be running from things internally. Maybe we're running because we were betrayed and so now we don't trust anybody. Maybe we run from relationships because somebody wasn't committed to us and so we don't want to commit to anyone. We get in relationships for a little bit of time, we don't trust, so we're in and out of things. We're kind of like, you know, go-kart racing, kind of like, you know. Don't stay any one place very long because of how we think internally. It's a process, though. You don't want to get down on yourself. It's a process. God will keep you moving while you heal. God will keep you moving while you heal. You don't have to sit still while you heal. many times people, Jesus prayed for them and they were healed as they went. They went as they were moving forward, their healing came. Is this good? Is this the right sermon for the right time? So we want to finish our destiny. You want to finish your destiny. Now remember, your destiny is not just an event. You know, for years people would think destiny meant my calling, and everybody related that to ministry. And it's like, if that's all you relate to your life is what I'm going to do for God directly, like, am I going to minister? Am I going to, you know what? You're going to miss out on most of your life. Because I'm a minister, but that's just a part of who I am. I have family. I have friends. I have a life. My life does not evolve around ministry. Never has, never will. Because there's more to me than just what I'm doing right now. Right? And there's more to you than just some big event. If I can just get there, if I can just get there, then I'll be happy. No, you won't. Because happiness comes from the joy all along the way. Just the steps. And knowing God more and more as you take steps. And starting to trust Him. And like Pastor Ken said, having hope, regardless of what you're going through, realizing, hey, it gets moving up here pretty soon. But you're going to finish. You're going to finish. Did you hear me? You're going to finish. God knows how. And He knows where, and He knows when. And if He has to carry you, He will. But He's going to help you finish. That's good, Pastor Margie. We're going to finish. I'm going to finish. Okay, now let's flip over to, let me just say this one thing before we flip over there. You know, a lot of times we think of destiny and God's plan as success. And it surely is that. But let me just say this, success, you know, especially for men, you know, because you're the provider, you know, God's wired you to be an achiever, a builder, an adventurer, you know, because He gave all this stuff to Adam and He told him, you know, go and replenish the earth and subdue and have dominion. And so men are wired to, that's why you're wired that way in your career and what you feel like you're called to do and making money and all those things are important. But let me just say this. If success was just about money, then why would you have billionaires committing suicide? That's why the Bible says that prosperity will ruin a fool. You got to be prepared for true success to come into your hands, or it will destroy you. You have to know where you're going, who you are, so that that stuff doesn't attach to you, because it will. It'll start to pull you in a direction you don't want to go. So true success is not just money, right? So now let's flip over to Jeremiah 29:11. Y'all have a few hours? I should be through round one. Is that okay? You probably would. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare, peace, and not for evil, to give you your hope and your final outcome. So think about that. What is God saying? Did you know? Now y'all listen to this. Did you know? What you think most deeply about what you think about what God thinks of you is the most important thing you can think. Now, I know that. Let me say that again. Basically, however you feel that God feels about you, that's the biggest barrier to your progress. If you think God is mad, if you think God just doesn't like you, if you think if you just make another mistake, you're done. If you think that you just need to pay for some of your sins, that God, He loves you, but you're just going to have to pay for some of your sins. See, your approach and my approach to God has everything to do with our destiny. Because your destiny and my destiny, first and foremost, is our connection with Him. Because even if you knew what he had for you, you still could not do it on your own. Because then it would just be your idea and it would not be supernatural. But if you think God thinks that way about you, if you think he's just getting even with you, or you think, well, you know, he just opens doors for other people. He hadn't come through for me. I've been serving him, and he hasn't, and he didn't, and blah, 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 all that noise. That's your biggest barrier right there. If you don't understand him and know him, it'll affect everything about you. He does love you. He thinks highly of you. Highly of you. You can't do anything to tick him off about you. He's already decided that he cares about you. And you may say, well, Pastor Martin, you don't know what I've done in my life. True. He does. And he's still with you. He's still for you. He's a daddy. He separates behavior, stuff we've done, from how he feels about us. He loves us. He cares about us. And he's got grace for all the mistakes, all the things where you feel like you failed. See, if you don't think right about God, you won't think right about yourself. If you don't think right about him, you're going to feel like a failure. You're going to feel like your mistakes. You've just done too much. You've gone too far. This is it. Not so. Not so. So what did he say here? My thoughts are peace towards you. My thoughts, I have thoughts of peace, not evil. He said it right here. I don't have thoughts of evil about you. People say the most horrible things about God. That he kills people, that he causes cancer to teach people things. You know, he causes people to go bankrupt so they can learn. That's, I can't say the word. He said that word in church. That's baloney. Now, we know it up here. We know it. We know it up here. We know it. But what happens when you're alone and you're ticked? Because you're still where you were. Okay, God, what more do you want me to do? What is that? You're not thinking right about him. You're thinking he's holding something back to be mean. You're thinking he's withholding something. You've been more faithful. You've been faithful. You've given. And he's not keeping his end of the deal. You see, all these people taking steps, all their destinies, their callings, all these people, great things are happening for them, but nothing's happening for you. But see, if you think right, you trust him. You're like, you know what? If I was supposed to have that step, I would have already had that. I must not be ready. I put my trust in you. Because you have wonderful thoughts towards me, thoughts of peace. That word peace is shalom. It means he has thoughts of restoration for you. He has thoughts of your life where there's just nothing missing for you, nothing broken. He's trying to get you to a place where you're restored. There's nothing missing from your life. Everything's been restored. That's what he thinks about you. But he's a daddy. Let me ask you a question. You gun owners, I love guns. I have a gun. Now I want to get a rifle, but I love my guns. But dads, you wouldn't give a loaded rifle to a 5-year-old boy, would you? Not in your right mind. Right? Right? Right, Dan? No way. So then why would God put things in our hands that we're not ready for? You gotta trust him. You gotta keep trusting him. I'm sure somebody would give their son that, but that would be, they need to be locked up. Right? Okay, now, let's see here. I lost my place here. So you think of it this way. Thinking processes. How we think. How we think about God. What do you think about Adam? He had unbroken fellowship with God. Him and Eve both. They blew it. God comes. He hears God's voice. Adam, where are you? It was shocking to God that Adam was hiding. How many of us hide from God? He said, I hid because I was afraid. You know, God would probably be like, afraid of me? Really? See? it broke something between him and God. He did it. God came looking for him. He's like, Adam, where are you? What are you doing? Adam said, I was afraid. I was afraid of you. You don't need to be afraid of God. You don't need to be afraid of God at all. There's some people, shoot, man, you might be afraid of them because you can't trust them. You don't need to be afraid of God. And you may go, well, you know, maybe you didn't have a good relationship with your dad. Maybe he was a hard nose. And man, you walked the line or you got busted. Well, God's not like that. And you shouldn't be that kind of dad either. Don't repeat what you grew up with if it wasn't great. Start to ask God to change you. If God was out to get you, he'd already got you. He's God. He could squash you just like a cockroach in Texas. All right, now let's just get one more scripture and then we're going to start winding down. Maybe not wind down. Kenneth Copeland used to wind down. He would always say he's closing. He would close three or four times before he really closed. So I hope that's not what's happening here. Isaiah 55. 11. And then I'm going to start bringing things together here, the answers. Isaiah 55, 11. No, actually, let me think here for my thought. Let's start with 8. That'd be better. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and snow come down from heavens and return not there again, but watereth the earth and make it bring forth and sprout, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void without producing an effect. Useless, but it shall accomplish that which I please and purpose, and it shall prosper in the thing that I sent it to. So, I lost my train of thought. So basically, the word, let's just look at it this way. It'll be the easiest way too. You know, he waters, something comes out of heaven, it waters the earth. He's using a natural thing. It causes there to be seed for the sower. It just causes things to produce and to be fruitful and to grow. But he's using it here, and he says, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. The rain brings what's in heaven to earth. And so it is with his word. See, we're talking about our thinking today, our thinking process. What he's saying is the way I think about the situation, the way I think about you, it's higher than what you think. So what happens is when you're putting the word into your heart, he starts to bring that thought out of heaven that's higher, begins to change your thought, begins to change your ways. He brings it down into your life. That's how you get from what's in his heart into your heart is the word. Because all the Bible is God's thoughts. It's the way he thinks. It's his ways, how he thinks, how he responds, how he reacts, his character, what he values. And that's what happens. The word comes down into your heart. It begins to change how you think. It begins to change how you see your future. How it'll help you look farther up and go, you know what? By faith, I see. I see something. It begins to change your thinking process. The barrier is how we think within us, right? So, you know, maybe you can say you've struggled for a long time with depression, discouraged, you feel stuck, struggle with bitterness and unforgiveness, just like it's really a big deal for you. It's your thinking. It's your thinking. Remember we talked about in 1 Corinthians 13, we won't go back there, but remember we talked about when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I reasoned like a child. And my thought process was like a child. But what I would like to propose to all of us is that we all have childish thinking still. There's places where we still have childish thinking. And that's where God wants to help us. And it's the barrier, because like 1 Corinthians 13 is talking about love is what it's talking about. The whole chapter is about love. And then he starts talking about maturing. So basically, our inability to think the right way is a barrier to love. God is love. It's a barrier to him. We're supposed to be loving people. We need love. Love is insulates our life. We've got to have it. We've got to have it going out and coming in, going out and coming in. And sometimes our childish, immature is a better way to say. We're not thinking in a mature way about things. I'll give you an example about an internal filter. I was coaching a sheriff a while back. You know, he just retired, and he went into a lot of depression. And, you know, he came out of it. But so I'm talking to him one day, and he's talking about all of his friends and people he worked with, and he's saying that, you know, they never invite me anywhere. They never invite me fishing. They never invite me over for dinner, and they never invite us out. And, you know, he was real depressed and angry about it. And so I just had him recount his life for me. He started recounting, you know, he'd say, yeah, when I was that age, and, you know, people just never invited me. And we came through his whole life and to where he was today. And I said, you know, he called me pastor and I called him sheriff. And I said, so sheriff, so the only thing conclusion I can come to is that you're the common denominator in all those things. You just recounted 25 or 30 years of your life, and they all seem the same. I said, sheriff, could it be possible that the problem is you? Is it possible? He's like, pastor, I never thought about that. He goes, you're right. But see, what happened to him is he grew up without any love. His parents were cruel to him in ways that would just break your heart to hear. So he grew up without love. So he grew up with this inferiority complex. Nobody likes me. Nobody loves me. He just was out to, like, beat the world all his life. And here he is, 65, depressed, and he'd been suicidal. That's why I got called. What is that? It's a childish filter. He still had that childlike filter that he was processing life through, as he did as a child. You know, those things cause people to leave churches, leave jobs, leave relationships. Immature. Well, I don't like the worship, or I don't like the minister, or nobody likes me over there. You know, I mean, I hear grown people talk this way. You know, a church of, yeah, it's just common. And it's childish. It's childish to let those type of things move you away from what God has for you. You don't let those kind of things move you away from what God has for you. Why? Because that's childish. That's your filter. That's how you're filtering your decisions you make, steps you take through those filters. You know, you might be the type of person that you don't stay committed anywhere very long. Why? Because they don't understand my gift. They don't know how anointed I am. They don't give me the places I want, the positions I want. And so I just move on. Well, you know what? You're going to keep moving on. You're going to keep moving on. Because who wants to give somebody great responsibility that can't be counted on? Because you know what? If you got to talk a person into doing something, you got to keep talking them into it. If you're who you say you are and you got what you say you got, you got to be able to be counted on. I'm the man. I'm the woman. I'm here. Boom. And even your relationships, same way. I see people all the time that have constant turnover in their close relationships. Every 2-3 years, they got a constant. It's a very huge life resume flag for me. If I look at somebody's life resume and they don't have any friends they had 5 years ago, it's just every 2 or 3 years, that's a flag. Why? Because it shows they can't stick with something. They don't know how to work through things. They don't know how to stay committed. They don't know how to put their own desires aside and do what needs to be done. Why? They're just going to continue to go to place to place. That's the way kids are. We just got to grow and let God help us grow up, right? You know, and I was the same way. I'm still that way. I still got to grow. I still can be the biggest stinking baby in the world. But you know, no one lives with me, so they don't get to see it. But I can be terrible at home sometimes with the Lord. You just know he's saying, you know what? You just need to grow up. I'm like, sometimes I'm glad I can't hear you audibly. But you know, my mother always told me, you are so stubborn. You know, why don't you just listen to me? You were so stubborn. You can't be told anything. Well, I thought she was just wrong. You know, she's just your mother. She's wrong. And then I remembered, I don't know if this, I don't know, maybe, was it 10 years ago? I don't even know, maybe 15, but I was in a meeting with my boss at Living Word, Tim Burt, and I remember one day he got so frustrated with me. He's like, Margie, you're so defensive. You won't listen to me. And I'm like, my mother's voice. He goes, why do you take everything so personal? It's not personal. I'm just trying to help you see. And then I'm like, I'm not being defensive. I guess I was. What was it? I was bringing that childish way of filtering information. Thought that they were being critical. They didn't like something I did a certain way. They're being critical of me. And they weren't. But here I was, a pastor on staff at a large church. And I was acting like a 10-year-old child. But he loved me enough to be honest with me. And I respected him enough to listen. And it helped me. I'm not saying I don't still do that sometimes. But I grew. You're going to grow too. You got some stinking stuff too. Don't you be looking up here at me. But see, I was judging him based on my own filter. My filter. What's your filter? How do you filter stuff? How do you filter conversations? How do you filter relationships? You filter it through a lot of jealousy, insecurity. Do you filter people not giving you the positions you want and you getting the career stuff? Do you filter that through your insecurities? Is it always somebody else's fault? Is somebody else always responsible like Adam and Eve did? He's like, yep, it's the woman you gave me. It's you did it. You screwed up. Don't come talking to me. It's that woman you gave me. And then Eve said, the devil made me do it. Do you find you do that? Because see, these are just things God wants to tweak, because you could be causing yourself to stay stuck based on your thinking. See, his ways and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts and ways. And he wants them to come down into our heart today. God wants a higher thought to come down into your heart right now. A different way to think. A different way to feel about yourself. He doesn't see you as a failure. You're not a failure. You're on your way somewhere. Amen? I'm loving this, are y'all? So, you know, I'll back up just a little bit in my life. When I was about 22 years old, I was probably about as dysfunctional as you can get. I brought a new meaning to the word dysfunction. I was extremely insecure, fearful of everything, didn't want to leave my family, didn't want to take steps. I just wanted to leave life just exactly the way it was. Just leave every person, leave me, leave everything right here. We're not going anywhere. I'm just going to stay right here. Very insecure. And if you mess with my insecurities, I had a way of being sarcastic and put you right back in your place real quick. But I was stuck. And it was everybody else. It surely wasn't me. And God dealt with me, and it scared the daylights out of me. He made me separate from my whole family. They moved to a completely different place, and God said, you're going to stay right here for just a little while. He let me go like a couple of months after them because it was a progression, and that's what God's going to do with you. Whatever your childish thing in you that keeps you stuck, he does it in a progression. He doesn't do it all at once. So little at a time, he started helping me deal with my fear. I mean, the fear was bad. I had fears of my mother dying, and I mean, I was just consumed with fear, just consumed with it. And had I not, now listen to this, had I not let God deal with me and help me, even though it was painful to walk out of it, I wouldn't be standing here today. Because I had to leave my whole family 25 years ago, December 3rd, 1989. I had to leave my mother, my sister, my brothers, everything I deemed dear to me, an amazing job at Kenneth Copeland Ministries, had an office that overlooked the lake. I'm an associate producer. I have arrived. Now I'm cool. Everything's great. I've arrived. I've grown. Whew. Now I can sit here. And then the Lord's like, you're moving again. But you know what? Here's the thing. And listen to this, okay? Remember how I said he gives you steps, but he gives you steps within the steps. And every step within the step prepares you for the step. He prepared me for that. He prepared me. I flew here for a week and interviewed with Pastor Mac Hammond. And I look back now and I'm thinking, how in the world did he get me to that place? I get on the plane. Everything I own is on an 18-wheeler being moved. And I'm so peaceful because I'd grown. I'd let go of the grip I had on things because I was so afraid. He's like, just let go of it. What is he asking you to let go of? Maybe it's your idea of the way you think your life should have been and should be. Let go of it. Well, I think I should already be married or I think what, just let it go. What is it that's holding you back? Are you stuck somewhere where you got hurt really bad in a relationship and you're still just letting that filter all your relationships? Does every man that comes in your life have to be filtered through your ex and how you were treated? If you are, you're stuck. Do you filter your relationships with other men, guys, through your own insecurity about how you feel about yourself? And so you can't stand to hear them talk about their success because of how you feel about you. You're stuck. But God, like we read in Psalm 37, he wants to pick you up today. He's reaching his hand out to you and said, it's no problem. Just give me your hand. Just give me your hand. I'm going to take you somewhere. We're going somewhere. We're on a trip here, buddy. You're not staying here. And if you say, Lord, I can't walk, he's like, that's okay. Let me carry you. I'll carry you. He'll carry you if he has to. And then he's like, okay, look way ahead up there, see? You're like, yeah, life's moving up there. He's like, yeah, that's where you're going. I'm like, wow, can we like fly there? Do we have to walk? Is this good? Timely word. Timely word. So like I said, God moved in steps with me. And now I speak differently about my life in that way. I reason differently now. So 3 years ago, you know, I'm very close to Pastor Mac and Lynn. I don't mean close like I go to their house and hang out. I don't mean that. I just mean very close in my heart. They're my spiritual parents. So I always thought I would be there. I remember one time talking to Pastor Mac at a staff Christmas party. I said, Pastor Mac, I hope I'm always with you and Pastor Lynn. I just hope I don't ever have to leave. And I said, I don't think I am. He's like, oh, Margie, you're probably with me forever. We're going to be a servant in heaven together. And we just kind of had a laugh. And so then 3 years later, I set up a meeting with him to tell him, I know I have another step. How could I have the strength to do that? And I'm not saying it was easy because it wasn't. But I'd grown enough that my filter was different. I didn't, when I first felt that, I didn't go, oh, you, forget it. And I had said that in the past to the Lord. I'm not leaving. If you want me to leave, I'm not leaving. Don't even ask me because I ain't going nowhere. And I meant it. It's that stubborn side of me again. Set up a meeting with Pastor Mac. 3 years later, I took the step on my own. And I got more peace than I've ever had in my life. Yeah, there's challenging things to any new step, any new ministry you start, any new business you start. But you know what? God prepared me. He didn't just all of a sudden one day say, boom. He prepared me, told me 3 years ahead before. He gave me 3 years to prepare for it. He's talking to you about steps. But I had to get rid of the fear. Pastor Mac was like my, you know, I don't even know, my security blanket maybe. You know? I just want to be with Pastor Mac and Lynn. I'm fine. We're cool, Lord, right? We're cool, right? I just want the Lord to say, yeah, you're not going anywhere. You're not going. You're going to stay right here. I'm like, right, Lord? We don't have to take any more steps, right? This is it, right? You're going to come back, and I'm still going to be a living word, Lord, right? No answer. Okay, that's not good. But he prepared me. And he's preparing you. You just got to let go of that, maybe the bad attitude that you have because things haven't come the way you want. Maybe you think your life has just not been the way it should have been. Things happen that are unfair. Things do happen that's unfair. Life is extremely unfair. But I'm here to tell you, don't buy that crap. That everything good and everything bad comes from God above. That is a lie from the pit of hell. That's as nice as I can say that. It angers me because I know God. He wouldn't let a little baby burn up in a house. He wouldn't give a child cancer. But praise the Lord, the family got saved at the funeral. See, God works in mysterious ways. Those people that can say that, they don't know him. When you know somebody and somebody slanders their character, it ticks you off. God is good and he loves you and he can change your whole life if you will just let go. If you'll just let go today, let go of where you thought you should be by now. Let go of every preconceived idea and let him work. Say, Lord, work in my childish behavior. Maybe you're a husband and you act like a child at home sometimes. You need to grow. And maybe for a while, maybe you control to get things. That's childish. So what are we? We're all kids growing up. I got my own, but I ain't telling you no more. I told you enough. How much time do I have, Pastor Ken? I'm good? Okay, let me see. How do I can use this as an example? Let's see. Let's see. Here we go. Okay, Mike, you hold on to that. Okay, here's my childish behavior in an area, right? Here's when I'm a childish behavior, okay? That's what I'm familiar with. But I'm growing. I'm growing. But I ain't completely grown. I need this familiar. It's familiar. It's painful and it's terrible for me, but it's familiar. It's dark, but it's familiar. It's familiar. But I need to grow, Lord, and I need to grow up, and I need to change, and you're changing me, and I'm not thinking the same way. It's hard, Lord, because that's familiar to me, even though that's painful. It's destroying my relationships. It keeps me from having peace, but I just can't let it completely go. What's God saying? Give it to me. Give it to me. Because it's human nature. We'd rather stay in something that's familiar, even though it's no good for us. It's painful for us. It keeps destroying the steps we're in. We'd rather stay in it because it's familiar. It's comfortable. But it's killing you. It's killing you inside. You're right, Lord. I don't need that anymore because it's what's hurting me. It's what's holding me back. You can put it down because I ain't coming back for it. I'm done. The Lord's like, good. Now just give me your hand. And then let me talk to you. Let me talk to you now. Let's talk more frequently. Open up the book that you have that has all my thoughts in it. Just open it up. When you start to think like your life is going nowhere, open it up to Jeremiah 29:11 and say, you know, Lord, I don't see anything right now. I don't feel anything right now. But you know what? Your word says right here, for I know the plans that I have for you. Lord, you have plans for me. See, the devil's trying to tell you there's no plan for you. You're not going anywhere, Jackson. You're going to be right where you are in 5 years, 10 years. You're such an embarrassment. You're such an embarrassment. You're the biggest failure in the world. Look at you, all that big talk you've been given all these years, and look where you are. See, that's the devil taunting you, because you know what taunting does to you? It either makes you run or you'll get angry. And the devil wants to make you angry. And God wants to calm you down and say, I got it all. It's okay. Everything's going to be all right. Because we're putting our trust back in him. You just got to keep it there. I just got to keep it there. I mean, okay, I'll be honest with you. I'm 57. I know I look 40, but, you know, I have to be honest here. We're in church. But there's times, not much, but there's times I can get a real attitude because I'm not married yet. Every once in a while, I don't do this anymore, but I used to have this really immature conversation with God about it. I'm like, okay, look, come here. Let me understand this. I move 1,000 miles away from my whole family to do the calling on my life as a pastor, to follow your will and follow your plan. The least you could have done is had my husband waiting there. Because I'm like a deal, like, okay, I've done this for you. Where's the payback? Where's the husband, Lord? Especially when I carry my own salt downstairs to my, what do you call that thing? Water softener. That stinks. Or something breaks in the house, but the Lord told me a while back, he said, you think you can get a husband and you think they all know how to fix stuff? He's like, they don't. He said, just call a repairman. You'd have to call him now. You have to call him then. But see, what I was doing to the Lord, I was saying, all I've done, I wanted a little girl, and I don't have any of these things. See, I was feeling sorry for myself. Feeling sorry for myself, mad at God. And I finally, you know what I realized? I thought, you know, Lord, I said, you really know me well, and you know what I need more than I do. And so now, oh, every once in a while it'll come to me, but it doesn't bother me. You know, so if you're single, don't think I'm looking for a husband, you know. I'm just steering a story. I'm just sharing a story. But God is good. I had to say that because I've had that happen to me before. So I just had to say that. I'm not looking for any dates right now, so everything's cool. But who knows? Maybe next time I come to preach. Well, that's next week. That wouldn't be right. So say maybe I'll be married, but the next time I come, but that's next week. That'd be a little too soon for me. But God's good, isn't he?